Ladies and gentlemen, from the Command Center, episode 21 is tagged explicit. We do use foul language in this episode, so if you have kids or if you don't like foul language, please turn the podcast off. I'm sorry. It's Power Rangers Samurai, people. How can we not use F-bombs and S-bombs and a-holes and hell yeah, hell no's and whatever else? So you've been warned. The show is explicit.
Samurai forever! Jaden!
Mia!
Mike! Kevin!
Emily!
Antonio!
Welcome to a collaboration between the Geekcast Radio Network and the Pop Culture Network. This is From the Command Center, the podcast, episode 21. I am your host, TFG on Mike, and joining me live for the first time is the Super Sentai guy, Spade of the Bolt Matrix. Hello.
Hello. Konnichiwa.
How are you, sir? What?
Konnichiwa.
Yes. Scotty Cash had a family emergency, and he could not make it this evening, so it'll be Spade and I talking about Samurai. Oh, Samurai. Oh, God.
They tried?
They tried. They failed. So before we get into it, we do have some feedback. This is from the Pop Culture Network's forums over at popculturenetwork.com. Crunchman61 says, having gone through and rewatched RPM in anticipation for your episode, I have to say that this season is hands down one of the best seasons ever made. Definitely in my top three. It felt like the writers decided to write a show that felt more friendly to older audiences. The action was amazing. Dylan ranks as my favorite Ranger of all time, and the story was very well done. Ranger Blue being my favorite episode. Seriously, anyone who hasn't seen this has to watch that episode. It's a shame that after such a great season, Disney didn't continue the series, as I feel they would have made a much better product out of Shinkenger than Saban did. If you were to ask me what my top Ranger seasons are, I'd give you In Space, RPM, Time Force, and Time Force. Great episode as always, and can't wait to hear you tear Samurai apart. Oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
Well, I do have a very interesting tidbit. I don't know how much I got. I can't remember how much I got into this in my Go Onger talk for when you're talking about RPM. But there was no plot. RPM did not, or I'm sorry, Go Onger did not have a plot. There was nothing tying the series together. It was just it was what was known as a comedy series. So it was just a bunch of gags and funny episodes with very minuscule little things thrown in. There was no point to the show.
Yeah, apparently not. And we also have, as always, we have notes from Chaotix as well, and we'll have notes from him at the very end of the podcast. He says, great episode, guys. While I still personally view it as one of the best seasons, it was fun to see your differing opinions on RPM and the discussion that came from them. Agreed with Scotty on RPM's comedy. It seriously is some of the best in the franchise's history. If only Saban's current writing staff would follow its lead rather than failing to recapture those slapsticky moments from the MMPR days in Samurai. Then the show might have come out a little bit less awkward. Didn't really understand your gripes about pointless episodes, as I found the most of them, minus the Dome Dolls and action, of course, held important plot points regardless of whom they focused on or where the Ranger Zord fights were at all that important in the grand scheme of things. But hey, different views and all that. That's all I got for you this month. Stay tuned to the FTTC thread on the PCN forums for my final thoughts on Samurai, and I'll look forward to your episode on it. Should be quite interesting, to say the least. Keep up the super work. Just as a note, even though Scotty is not here, I know that Scotty does not like Samurai. I'm sure there might be certain things that he likes, certain aspects he likes about it, but as far as I can tell, his overall opinion on it, he does not like it whatsoever. And because Scotty is not here this time around, next month when we do our countdowns, we will be able to have Scotty's general opinion of Samurai then. So Samurai is the technically 19th season, right?
About that, yeah.
Well, because you don't count the MMPR reimage or the Transformers Generation 2 version of MMPR, that was originally counted as the 18th season.
Technically, if you have 93 to 96 and count that as one season, this is technically the 16th season.
Oh, wow. Jeez. So, anyway, with Saban Brands buying back the franchise, the show is produced by SCG Power Rangers and began airing on Nickelodeon and Nicktoons on February 7th, 2011. As with all Power Rangers programs, Power Rangers Samurai is based on one of the entries in the Super Sentai series. In the case of Samurai, the source series being Samurai Sentai Shinkenger. Saban Brands have said that the show will have a brighter tone and gets infusion of fun and comedy that wasn't present in season 16 and 17. Oh, God. Somebody shoot me now. Somebody just take a Q-Rex blaster and just shoot me now. Holy shit. And yes, we are cursing in this. I did put a disclaimer at the beginning of the episode saying that this would be a rant-filled, curse-filled episode. I guess you could count this as a plus, Spada. Power Rangers Samurai is the first season to be shot and broadcast in HD. I guess that's a plus.
Okay.
I don't know.
And that would be because Shinkenger was also the first first Super Sentai to be shot in SD. I'm sorry, HD.
HD. Yeah. Samurai is split into two 20-episode seasons. The second set of 20 episodes began on February 18th, 2012, and is called Power Rangers Super Samurai.
Okay, so pretty much what they did was they took a single series and stretched it over, what, 1.5 to 2 years?
2 seasons. Now, this is where it gets confusing, because it counts Samurai itself, the first 20 episodes, they count that as the 18th season. This is how they're getting to Megaforce being the 20th overall season. They count Samurai itself, the first 20 episodes, season 18. They count Super Samurai, season 19.
Well, that's just dumb.
It's the same freaking series. I don't know.
That makes absolutely no sense, but you have to, I think that what they're doing here is they're looking at the way television works. And a season or a series, if you have one series from one series to another, there has to be a certain amount of time between the airings, like 4 to 6 months before you can call it another series or season.
Exactly.
And that's just the way TV works. That's the way television here in the U.S. has worked for many years. But, yeah. I mean, if you've got... So they were calling it a different series, right? Not a different season?
No, it says in here in the Wikipedia article, it says, Samurai is split into two 20-episode seasons. The second set of 20 episodes began on February 18th, 2012, and is called Power Rangers Super Samurai.
Okay, if they're calling
which it... Which is being called a new season. Samurai is considered to be the 19th season. Super Samurai. Super Samurai is considered to be the 19th season.
Oh, that's just stupid. Yes, I mean, I would be more incredulous and angry if they called it the 19th series.
Yeah,
but if they're just saying seasons, they could get away with calling it seasons.
Yeah, it's just saying seasons. What were your initial impressions of this series when you first saw it?
to be honest, not that positive when I first saw it. And I kind of felt the same way about Samurai that I felt about almost all of the other Power Rangers seasons that Disney got a hold of. And that first episode is always very awkward. We've seen it with, we saw it with Megaforce this past week, and we've seen it with all the other all the other series. We saw it with Jungle Fury, with Overdrive, with Mystic Force, with SPD. Not so much with Dino Thunder back, because I think the quality of actors was better. But the quality of acting in those first few episodes is always terrible.
Well, the problem, because I completely ignored Samurai after seeing the quote-unquote first episode on Nickelodeon. I just completely ignored it until it hit Netflix. The problem that I had with Samurai is that they start out airing episode 3, The Team Unites.
Yeah, they did the Fox.
Nickelodeon had done all these promos, and you saw all these promos all over the internet of arrows flying by and the team being summoned, and then you see The Team Unites. They did not show Origins Part 1 and Part 2 until, like, episode 19 and 20 of the series, and then they retroactively go back, because it's now fixed on Netflix, where Origins Part 1 and Part 2 is at the top of the list instead of listed as 19, as the 19th and the 20th. That's one of the reasons why I just didn't give a shit about Samurai.
And that would explain why I was
fucked it up.
That would be explaining why I was so confused when I first watched it, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Because I was intrinsically familiar with Shinkenger, because at that point, Ghostsager was already almost done, I think. Or was that was what, 2011 when it first aired? Or when did that air? Was it 2011?
What, Samurai?
Yeah.
Yeah. Samurai started in 2011.
So Gokaiger would have just started in February of 2011. So Sentai was already 2 seasons ahead.
Wow.
And well, right now they're 2 seasons ahead, because Go Buster is finishing, and then Kyoryuger is going to be starting, which I'll tell you about that after the show. It sounds like it's going to be insane, but
hopefully.
But it's Samurai, when it started, I sat there and I went, okay, so this is the red guy, this is the blue guy, this is the, okay, these are all the colors, and, oh, hey, they've even got a Gigi, or the trainer.
Mentor, yeah.
He likes motorcycles, that's straight out of Shinkenger, and they're at a dojo, okay, straight out of Shinkenger. And then they went into the mega, when they got into the Megazord, they went into their mega suits.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, huh, that wasn't in Shinkenger. Now, I actually like the mega suits. I think that's interesting. And I kind of wish they fought in those all the time.
I do too. I'm right there with you. I'm like, these regular suits are just so boring and bland and just so filled with spandex. And the mega suits, the mega mode suits, those are more almost like armor, kind of like what we had with Mighty Morphin the movie.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I do find that's funny is the female costumes have chiseled boobs. It's like, what? Shinkenger just kind of scratch my head at Shinkenger, because it feels like Saban didn't know what they were doing. They had an idea, they had a basic plot synopsis, they had the footage, but they didn't know what to do to bring it to America.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was also represented in the toys.
Yeah.
Because the toys, the Shinkenger toys versus the Samurai toys are vastly different. Incredibly vastly different. They're so different that Bandai of America is now releasing a $69 version of the Japanese Samurai Megazord over here.
Oh, wow. So it's kind of like Takara and Hasbro.
Kind of, yeah. That would be... except if Takara used completely different molds for all the toys. That would be a better analogy.
Yeah.
But it just... It feels very disjointed. It feels like they didn't know what they were doing, and then they went, oh, crap, we got to stretch this out. We got to make... We spent so much money to do this. We need to stretch out all of the money that we have. Let's make it two seasons. Because apparently it was not doing well in the ratings.
Yeah, that's nuts. Going back and having watched all 40 episodes plus the Clash of the Red Rangers movie, which... That's the one thing I can't stand about Samurai, Super Samurai, is because they wanted to make it two seasons that they have to split everything. Like, there's like seven different entries for the Samurai stuff on Netflix. There's the Clash of the Red Ranger movie, which is an individual thing. There's the Halloween episode. There's the Christmas episode. There's like all these different things. And then you have Samurai itself and Super Samurai itself as the two separate seasons. And I'm thinking, why didn't you morons just streamline this stuff, put it all under one banner, like every other season is in Netflix, to like just off the top of my head, how I'm thinking Dino Thunder was listed episode, like it was all listed under one, episodes 1 through 25, and then 26 through 32 was the remainder. What, however many episodes were in, you see what I'm saying, where it's one listing instead of all this stuff. I was like, oh my God, because I went through and I watched all 40 episodes first. And then I'm like, wait, where's the crossover? Scotty told me there was a crossover with RPM. And it's a separate friggin' listing in Netflix.
That movie was based on the Shinkenger versus Gaonger movie.
Right.
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm wondering if this was actually something that Nickelodeon forced on them.
I'm not blaming Netflix. I am solely
I'm wondering if Nickelodeon forced the name change on Saban.
Oh.
In order to drum up, in order to rebrand it.
Right.
Because the current theory now is that Megaforce in like November is going to become Super Megaforce and pick up, I don't know, it's going to pick up the Gokaiger costumes.
Right.
And the reason that thought is process is happening is because we've already got all the toys that would have come out for this season, for this series, before the show even aired. Like, the show just aired and I have half of the Zords that are supposed to be in the show.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, let's talk about the Rangers themselves. You have Jaden, who is the Red Samurai Ranger.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Supposedly. What did you think of Jaden as the leader?
Very typical. Very typical of what they were trying to do. But I will give the actor credit.
Yeah.
Because the Shinkenger Red Ranger was very similar.
Okay.
Very driven, very kind of a party pooper.
Mm-hmm.
And Jaden was kind of that way as well, but he was more open and kinder.
Yeah, there were times when he was just brooting around
that's straight out of Shinkenger.
Right,
that is
right.
Straight out of Shinkenger. That whole brooding.
Yeah, the times when he was brooding, I'm flashing back to 2006, and oh my God, it's Brandon Routh in the Superman suit. Holy crap! Yeah, I
can
know.
We not talk about that?
Yes.
he's an okay character, but if you notice, if you watch some of the episodes, I haven't seen all 50 episodes. I've seen about half of them, maybe 20 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice that he like becomes less and less tan and then gets more tan and then becomes less and less tan. Did you notice that?
Yes.
I don't know if they were just... Now, this was all filmed in New Zealand, so I'm wondering if he just went into a tan booth or something? I don't know.
Possibly. All right, next up is Kevin the Blue Samurai Ranger, portrayed by Najee Deetij. I think that's how you say his name.
Bless you.
Yeah, that's you. The devoted swordsman who dreamt of becoming an Olympic swimmer before being summoned to fight against the Nylocks. Kevin is the one ranger that has a sword stuck up his ass half the time.
You think he's bad? You should have seen Ryosuke from Shinkenger. Let me tell you about a bamboo sword stuck up your ass. Now, the one thing I'm very glad that they didn't bring over from Shinkenger is the tight pants. The actor that played Samurai Blue,
yeah,
wore an outfit of a black windbreaker and blue jean pants. They were so tight that the actor actually said afterwards that there were times where he was having problems walking because the pants were too tight. He'd lost like feeling in his legs, and it took him a couple months to recover from shooting.
Wow.
And he also had an enormous head. So you know the lollipop girl?
Yeah. Look?
We had a lollipop guy ranger in Shinkenger.
Oh my god.
And he was a dick.
Ladies and gentlemen, you now understand why, outside of the whole language barrier, why I don't watch Sentai.
But Kevin, the Blue Ranger,
was
just kind of an ass.
He was, yeah.
He was bitter, and he was not likable. Again, that was very, very much from Shinkenger, but the character never really grew.
When he tried to be likable, or when he tried to be nice, or try to, you know, have an upbeat attitude, the actor just failed at portraying it seemed like it was so forced. Like there was an episode where they're all going on, like the mentor told them to take a day off, and Kevin's like, well, I gotta train, I gotta do this, like that whole episode, it took him so long to just sit back, relax, and be able to take a day off, and it was just so forced. The acting was so bad. I'm sorry. Whatever your name is.
I don't know if that was just him being a bad actor or him being given bad direction.
Possibly. Next up is Mia Watanabe, the Pink Samurai Ranger, played by Erica Fong, who is the worst cook in the world.
Which is completely contrary to Shinkenger, where the Pink Ranger is a fantastic cook.
Yeah.
And she also, the big sister feel between the two characters is the same, but what is with them having Asian girls as the Pink Ranger?
Yeah, I don't get that.
That's the way it is in Megaforce. That's the way it is in Samurai.
Yeah.
And wasn't that the way it was in, that's the way it was in Space. Isn't that the way it was in, what was the show we both hated?
No, not in Space. In Space was, Kendrick's. Oh. She was white.
No, that's Lost Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. What was the, okay, yeah. I remember in Space now. Yeah, okay, I got it.
And then,
yeah, I don't know. It's like ever since Kimberly, it's like, Kimberly and Kat from MMPR, we can't have a... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then in Dino Thunder, there was no Pink Ranger.
No, there wasn't. But that's beside the point.
Yeah.
I don't know. It really... She did... The actress played the character okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Mia really didn't have anything to do.
No.
She was just kind of there. She really had, in all honesty, she really had nothing to contribute other than I'm the Pink Ranger.
The only time that she actually got decent backstory or decent characterization is when her brother showed up and they found out that she used to be in a band. I mean, that's really the only real character development I've ever seen out of her in the entire series, other than the finale episode where she's like, yeah, I'm going to go to cooking school and learn to be better. Yay.
And that the brother showing up was the exact same thing that happened in Shinkenger. Are you noticing a pattern yet, people?
Yeah, they pretty much copied everything for the most part. We move on to Mike, the Green Samurai Ranger, who is my favorite male ranger out of this cast.
Yes,
I love Mike. Mike is awesome.
I agree with you. He is by far the best of all of the rangers. He is not only the most likable, he's the most relatable. Because he seems to actually have the most depth as a human being, as opposed to all the others.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just awesome. Just awesome. And then you have his girlfriend, Emily. Oh, wait, spoilers.
Yeah, that wasn't in Shinkenger.
But I knew that was, like, after, like, the 15th or 16th episode, I was like, yeah, that's a thing now. Emily is portrayed by Brittany Ann Pirtle, sweet, innocent country girl who becomes a ranger by chance. She replaces her sick sister, Serena, who was destined for the position.
Oh my God, that is the exact same thing that happened in Shinkenger. I mean, yeah. To the letter. And the country girl aspect, the Shinkenger character was from fucking Osaka, Japan, which is considered the country in Japan. Their dialect or their accent is actually kind of similar to our Southern accent. Believe it or not. If you want to melt your brain that way.
Jeez, that's crazy.
But I just, God.
Well, I liked Emily. I thought she was kind of cool. I liked her more than Mia.
Did she have a severe confidence problem?
Yes, Emily is the one with the confidence. No, Emily is not. In her past, she did. That's why she doesn't when the confidence monster tries to hurt her. In her past, she did. She had a severe confidence problem because people used to pick on her as a kid, but as a ranger, she doesn't.
Okay, that is different than Shinkenger, because in Shinkenger, the Yellow Ranger has a severe confidence problem through most of the series, actually. And it's only within the last, like, 15 to 20 episodes that's when the confidence monster shows up.
Yeah. And then we have quite possibly the worst Gold Ranger in history, Antonio Garcia.
Oh, God, a Hispanic sushi chef. Okay.
There's something fishy about that, folks.
I need to explain this a little bit.
Go ahead. Take it away.
In Shinkenger, the Gold Ranger was a sushi chef who had a cart that he would travel around, and that happens. These types of carts, like food carts, are everywhere in Japan. They like just pull them up, unfold them, and there are benches and everything for people to sit and eat. And he was a very accomplished sushi chef.
Yes.
But when the Gold Ranger was going to appear, I originally tuned in to Samurai, because Nickelodeon, or I saw an ad for it. I think Nickelodeon actually kind of made a little bit of a big deal about it at first. And then he showed up, and I'm just sitting there going, what are you fucking kidding me? A Hispanic sushi chef sure, we need to have our multicultural rangers. Sure, go ahead. Just go ahead.
Well,
everything this guy did, I really feel bad for this actor because he was set up to fail.
Yes,
because the Gold Ranger is this bombastic, larger-than-life character who is very bubbly. He is the exact polar opposite of the ultra stoic Red Ranger.
Yeah.
It's like Ren and Stimpy. I don't know if any of our listeners are young enough to know what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But to give, instead of trying to work with that and make him, I don't know, just make him tone him down a little. No, they bring in a guy who looks like he belongs out of fucking Twilight and tell him, okay, go with it. It's like, go with what? I don't know. Do something wacky. It's like, what? No. Who directed this is what I want to know, because it really feels like Shinkenger. It really feels like the direction on Shinkenger was, okay, go. How was that? Oh, it was great. We'll fix it in post. Move along. It's like they took one or two shots for a scene and just went, okay, that's a wrap. We're done.
Yeah.
And they ended up with terrible dialogue, terrible looks, not looks, but terrible acting. And it feels like a rushed production.
Yeah,
and none of these actors, except for the guy playing the Green Ranger, can act.
Yeah, Hector David Jr. is plays Mike. One thing I don't understand, and I'm kind of going backwards here a bit, something I forgot to mention with Jaden. Young Jaden sounds like he's from Australia or New Zealand or that. He has an accent. Adult, teenage, whatever the fuck, Jaden has no accent. I know from experience, you know, Pocket Khan, Harvard Yacht. I lost a lot of that when I moved from Massachusetts to Kentucky. But most of the time, an accent that damn strong is not going to just disappear, even if you go through puberty and your voice drops out.
Yes, you know what I mean? Yes, it can. When I was in college, we had a guy from Georgia.
Yeah.
And there was a part of our group. He was a guy from Georgia, and he was a really great guy, and he spoke exactly like anyone from the North or Yankee country would speak. And I asked him, and I said, how hard are you trying to not do your native accent from your hometown? And he said, that is beaten out of you in high school. In a lot of high schools down south, that they have accent, or you can take a class where you learn to lose the accent, because people in the other parts of the country will not take you seriously if you've got that accent.
Yeah.
And he said it took about 6 months for him to lose it. Now, when he got tired or inebriated, it was hysterical, because that accent would come back.
Yeah.
And I myself from Baltimore, when I get tired, you can hear the Baltimore accent.
I do like about the Gold Ranger specifically, not necessarily Antonio, but the Gold Ranger. I like the fact that he used tech and he was able to, train himself. I like that aspect of it. I think that's a cool way. And not necessarily the traditional way of doing the samurai stuff. I thought that was pretty cool.
And that, again, is from Shinkenger. The Gold Ranger was taught a little bit by his dad, who was good friends with the Red Ranger's dad.
Right.
But he learned pretty much his entire fighting style and all of his abilities by himself. Now, that begs the question of where the hell did he get a morpher? But only go so far.
In Antonio's case, he found a cell phone and did something.
I have a cell phone. There are three cell phones in my house. None of these put me in golden colored spandex. Unless there's an app for that.
There probably is. And then finally you have Lauren, the Red Samurai Ranger. This is the big secret Jaden was keeping. He's not the real Red Ranger. His sister is. I swear to God, it's a complete copy of when you and your sister were a little baby, Hordak came in and stole your sister from us and turned her. It's not the evil part because Lauren isn't evil, but it's like that whole super secret of brother sister thing. And I was like, seriously, this is where they're going with this.
I don't know.
Again, that whole plot twist is from Shinkenger.
Yeah.
But Shinkenger actually has historical... There's a historical precedent for that.
Mm-hmm.
In Japan, what they had... I can't remember the word for it. I'm trying to look it up while I'm talking here. But in order to protect, like, the shoguns and the real people in charge, they would promote copies, or not dummies, but there would be someone of equal age raised along with the royalty, trained to become, you know, really good and just as equal as on par with the royalty. But if shit went down, that person would take the place of the royalty for the royalty to escape, and the opposing force would think, oh, we defeated the royalty, we killed them.
Yeah.
And I, for the life of me, I can't remember the name of it, but there is actual precedent in Japanese history and Japanese lore for stuff like that, for that.
Yeah. As far as allies, you have Mentor G, the Ranger Sensei, who helps them in their samurai training and provides the team with information on their enemies. Raised Jaden from a young age and trained him to take arms as the Red Samurai Ranger. Like the Ranger, he can use symbol power to perform various tasks. The best moment I think Mentor G ever had was when he got Antonio out of his funk. There was an episode where, I don't know if you've seen this one, there's an episode where a monster turned people and the Rangers into physical things. Imagine the transforming blender from Revenge of the Fallen.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Okay. So, like, Antonio, he got turned into a fish. And when he got changed back, he, like, all of his confidence was just gone. He couldn't do anything, couldn't do this, couldn't do that, whatever else. And Mentor G finally said, okay, well, I'm going to get him back on his game. Basically came up to him, you know, grabbed his shoulder, forced him around, said, here, eat this sushi and go help your friends. I love that about Mentor G. That was so awesome.
That very, I know what scene you're talking about. I have seen that episode. I have seen that scene. The same exact fucking thing happened in Shinkenger. Line, and when this originally happened, I went, wait, and I fired up the episode that I had on my other computer, and I went, oh my god, it's line for line, shot for shot, the same. And I found the word. It is a kagemusha, otherwise known as a political decoy.
So kind of like Amidala and Padme. Oops, we don't talk about episode one around here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amidala and Padme are the same thing.
Well,
remember in the third episode where the princess supposedly walked down and then got blowed up?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. All right. So, gonna put a little disclaimer here, because the next character we have to talk about, we've known since our childhoods, since the original MMPR days. And I do eventually want to interview Paul Schreier. I would actually love to interview Jason Narvi and Paul Schreier together, as not necessarily as their characters, but just do the interview with them together. I loved Bulk as a kid. Don't get me wrong, he was a neat little adversary thing to the Rangers, and Bulk, amongst his time from MMPR through, was it In Space? Or was it through Turbo? I forget.
He was all the way through Lost Galaxy.
Okay, Lost Galaxy. Okay. Bulk from MMPR to Lost Galaxy, they wrote him up. His character developed over time. He and Skull didn't just want to find out who the Rangers were. They were actually going to go help the Rangers and everything else. So I think it's nice that they decided to bring Paul back to reprise Bulk. But I don't like the writing for Bulk. They're basically trying to create 1993 all over again with Bulk. Instead of him being a kid or younger, you know, he's now his adult self. And you basically erase all of the character development he's had in the last 20 years.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like he had a stroke or something and reverted back to high school.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know what would have been a much better use of Bulk? If he was the mentor to the Rangers. Think about that for a little bit.
Wow.
Because if you start if you see him as a mature adult having been through 10 plus years of being around the Rangers and then is contacted by a Ranger society or a society to train Rangers, and he acts as a more of a father figure, and then you could get all these throwbacks to the original times that he could tell the time of that he and Skull were transported to a different planet and the two of them had to fight it out with a fellow gladiator in order to get home. The time that they saved the Power Rangers. I think they've done that two or three times.
Yes, they have.
The time they had to save a baby on rollerblades.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It would have made a much better storyline.
And it would have made things more interesting with his nephew, because you have his godson. He's trying to, I don't remember, was the godson there for like summer vacation or something? Did they ever say?
The way it was portrayed to me was he came to Bulk to learn the samurai ways. It's kind of like a summer camp thing kind of deal.
Well, then that would even make more sense, because you have Bulk, and you could come up with some great comedy bits where Bulk is trying to prevent his nephew from finding out that the people he has been training with or he has been at camp with, quote unquote, are actually the Rangers. And he's, you know, teaching this kid life lessons and trying to teach this kid to be, you know, a better person, because let's face it, when you're a teenager, your faculties haven't actually developed yet. That's a scientific fact.
Yeah.
But it would have made a much better show. It just would have made everything so much more cohesive. It would be like, okay, Bulk is here for a reason. It is not just an homage. He is here for a legitimate reason. And then, you know, a couple of episodes could be showing just how badass Bulk has become in the past 10 years. How much he has learned. Like, a monster could show up and Bulk is able to take or make the monster flee with his bare hands.
Yeah. Yeah, they could have done so much with Bulk. And then they could have still had that finale episode where Skull shows up and then they just kind of fall back into their old ways. That would have made, which they do. In the finale episode, they fall back into their old ways. They stumble over each other. They fall down, whatever. It's the old classic Bulk and Skull, and that's great. It's fine for a finale episode.
Right.
But I agree with you. They should have written him a little bit better. And Spike, I don't care for the style of comedy. I know Samurai, supposedly they're trying to create Power Rangers for the next generation, for like if, you know, geeks of our age have kids, they can show this to their kids, which I hope they never do, actually. You know, I understand they were going for that with Spike, but I just don't care for Spike's style of humor at all. It just reminds me of the 90s too much, and not in a good way.
It's just blah.
Yeah. Serena is Emily's older sister. We talked about her. Kevin's father, Jaden's father, Daisuke is the elder guardian of the Tengen Gate, where the first Samurai Rangers battled the Nihlok army. Of course, you got Scott Truman from RPM coming over. I like this next part about Cody and Cody's father, the fact that they're guardians of the first Samurai Zord. I like that little plot line that they did there. I thought that was cool. And it was an interesting way to find a Zord. And then you got Terry Watanabe, which is Mia's brother. For villains, you've got the Nihloks and Master Zandred, who live in an alternate dimension.
It's so weird. The way Shinkenger tells it is, these are the creatures that exist within the cracks of the world. Yeah. And that's an actual ancient lore in Japan. It's like an old, not a fairy tale, but right. it's something that is kind of like the boogeyman, you could say. Yeah. They're malevolent spirits, blah 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 blah. They sail along the Sanzu River, and sure. like all these names are steeped in or remnants of Japanese lore, but even in Shinkenger, most of these villains were really boring.
Most of them are really boring in Samurai too. And oh my god, Octaru, I wanted to cut that guy's tentacles off and just shove them down his throat. Oh my god, I hate that character.
He wasn't that annoying in Shinkenger. He was just kind of there. He was, the one that would go into the real world, you know, while right. everybody else just stayed back on the ship.
Octaru to me is kind of like if you pushed Squat and Babu together and made one character.
Yes. That's what he's supposed to be. I was thinking that.
That's what he's supposed to be, and that's what his voice is, kind of like a combination of Squat and Babu's voice, and that's all right, but just after a while, it just kind of grated on me. Dayu is the female of the villains. Supposedly, she used to be human.
Yeah, that was the same way in Shinkenger. She has a tragic past, blah, blah, and blah.
Speaking of tragic past, you have Cole Evans, Red Wild Force Ranger. Oh, I'm sorry, Decker.
Okay, so that is him.
It is. Okay. It is Rick Ricardo Medina Jr., credited as Rick Medina. It is Cole Evans, Red Wild Force Ranger. The only reason why I knew it was him, besides seeing it on like No Pink Spandex or other Power Rangers websites, was I kept hearing him talk and I kept hearing him say Uramasa, and I just recognized his voice. And then I actually looked at him like, hey, that's Cole. Awesome. I like Decker. I think Decker, it's one of the more interesting plot twists where he's a human and a Nihlok. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that is actually interesting. Unfortunately, guess where that comes from?
The Sentai.
The Sentai is a little different. He's kind of like this in between a human and a demon. I guess they're demons. I can't remember. They're called the Gedoshu. Whatever. He's kind of evil spirits. They're evil spirits. He's kind of stuck between. And he can move freely between human and spirit. So as opposed to Decker, who is both.
And then you have Serrator, who is essentially kind of like the Darkonda of this series.
Yep, yep.
He's responsible for cursing Decker and turning Dayu into a Nihlok. Serrator was all right, but he for me kind of falls in the middle of, I don't necessarily like him to the point of, oh my god, best character ever, and at the same time I don't necessarily hate him to where, oh my god, this is the dumbest thing in Power Rangers history. He was good. He was all right.
Yeah, in the Sentai, he was just more of a... He was more of like a political strategist behind the scenes. Very strong, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But he was more... He was more just things going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. And then you have Furballs or Furbies or... Yep. plush toys and furry warts, so we don't need to talk about those things. The Moogers are Master Zandred's foot soldiers. These are...
Mooga, 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 mooga.
21st century putties. Mooga, 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 and they mooga, suck. Mooga. Yeah.
Worst toys ever.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Spitfangs are the alternate foot soldiers that Master Zandred has.
They're like what if you had a nightmare and Goomba, a nightmarish Goomba is the best way to describe it.
Oh, that's funny. And then the Pappy Rocks, which are Serator's personal giant minions, created from paper cutouts. Yay! The henchmen in this series, just like the rest of the series for the most part, suck.
They actually look a little bit on the scary side. I mean, that whole gaping mouth thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're definitely a little more scary than, say, a putty.
Yeah.
Or, what were the things from Lost Galaxy? Those were stupid looking.
The Stingwingers.
Yeah.
Was it Lost Galaxy or?
Well, then there are the Loogies.
Yeah.
In Megaforce.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about Megaforce at the end of this episode a little bit. So let's get into the Zords. First of all, folding Zords, really? Folding Zord? Oh,
dude, the toys are awesome. I'm not.
The toys may be awesome, but the execution in the show just it.
The execution in Shinkendra is much better.
Okay,
it is much better. Believe me.
Yeah.
But so the toys themselves are awesome. The Japanese version of the toys, that is.
So you got the lion, dragon, turtle, bear, and ape folding Zords.
I don't like the name folding Zords.
That's what I don't like. The Zords themselves, they look cool, but just the name, folding Zords, it just sounds stupid to me.
Oh, it's plenty stupid.
Yeah.
I agree.
And then you have the Beetle Zord, the Swordfish Zord, the Tiger Zord, the Octazord, the Claw Zord, the Shark Zord, the Light Zord, and the Bull Zord. The Light Zord.
Oh, Daigoyo!
Yeah.
He's in Shinkenger. He is actually very entertaining. He's pretty cool. The toy is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I completely forgot that they even had this in the show.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it was any good.
It's Antonio's sentient Zord. It wasn't able to be opened due to the fact that no other samurai had light power. It was part of the reason how Antonio got over his fear of fish and is normally in a form that resembles a handheld fish cooler and can to use Antonio's sword to transform into a humanoid battle form.
No, it isn't. That's yes, not a is. Hand cooler. That's a Chinese lantern, you jackasses.
I know. I know what it was supposed to be, but yeah.
I'm sorry, not a Chinese lantern, just a lantern.
A lantern, yes. That's because it's called Light Zord. Why would it be a fish handheld fish cooler and can used to hold Antonio's... Yeah, that makes no sense. Wikipedia, get your shit right.
It's just full of fish!
Yes. Out of all the Zords in the series, like the individual Zord form, like not even Megazord stuff, just the regular Zord forms, I like most of them. I think Octazord was my favorite, probably, if I had to really pick one. I thought that was really interesting. Do you have a favorite individual Zord?
An individual Zord? Not really. I kind of like them all. I think the only one I don't like is the Shark Zord.
Okay.
I don't know why they call it a Shark Zord when it's got feet. But, okay. Now, initially, the Shark Zord only showed up in the movie, the Shinkenger movie, and then showed up, like, once or twice in the show.
Oh.
So that's probably, that's why you didn't see it used that much.
Yeah.
The Bull Zord is, I don't care for the Bullzord. It's supposed to be an ox pulling a cart.
Yeah.
But I've never really cared for it, especially considering the fact if when you see it moving, it doesn't look like it's actually like running. Its legs are just kind of shifting up and down and the wheels on its feet are spinning.
Yeah. That's very true.
And it's like a giant bus with missile launchers.
So the Megazord formations, you have the Samurai Megazord. It's formed when the Rangers write the kanji for unite. That's the other thing. Like, I don't mean to be disrespectful to the samurai way of life or whatever else, but I'm sorry. That's one thing I could not get past in this series is the whole symbol power thing.
That was a Shinkenger thing.
I know.
They couldn't get past it. There's no way. There's very little way they could do the series. If they're supposed to be samurai, you've got to have kanji in there somehow.
Yeah.
And I don't think it worked in the U.S. I think it was kind of dumb. I think they could have gone the way Jungle Force did and just did a different morpher. Mm-hmm. I think watch morphers would have been a better idea as opposed to a cell phone that turns into a brush that you write kanji for henshin or transform.
Yeah.
In the air. And the kanji isn't unite. The kanji is gatai, which is G-A-T-T-I, which is a play on words in Japan for combine. Or come together.
Yeah. So, the Samurai Megazord.
Best Fox... Megazord, one of my favorite Megazords of all time.
Really?
Yes. I love the look of this Megazord. He comes with a giant-ass sword that is an actual katana. And just a fun Megazord. The Shinkenno, which is what the Megazord is called in Japan, is just one of my favorite Zord Megazords. It's up there with the Zeo Megazord for me.
Hmm, interesting. I liked it. I thought it was interesting, even though I'm not too fond of it having shoulder pads or what look to be shoulder pads out of the...
They're not really shoulder pads.
I know, it's the pink Zord and the whatever the one makes. I know they're really not, but just seeing how the pink folding Zord folds out and then seeing it become the right arm of the Zord and just seeing how it looks like it's a shoulder pad.
And then we've got the Beetle Blaster Megazord where the Megazord combines with the Beetle. The Swordfish Fencer Megazord, the Tiger Drill Megazord, the Octo Spear Megazord, and the Samurai Shark Megazord.
Yeah.
All of these are kind of silly.
Yeah, they are. They're all interchangeable. They're essentially the Samurai Megazord, but they're all interchangeable. It's kind of like...
Interchangeable weapon packs.
Yeah, pretty much. And then there's the Samurai Battle Wing of, hey, we need to fly. We need to add something to this. So
this is the combination of the Beetle, the Swordfish, and the Tiger. They all merge together into a flying chicken.
Yes. And, of course, after that is the Battle Wing Megazord, which you take the flying chicken and put it on the back of the Samurai Zord, and there you go, it flies.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, and it gets drill nipples. I'm not kidding.
I know. That's so weird. We have the Claw Battlezord, the humanoid battle mode of the Clawzord. It has different modes named after compass directions, where it utilizes different weapons to adapt to different situations.
So Claw Battlezord West has a giant fan. Claw Battlezord South has two giant swords. Claw Battlezord North combines with the octopus to form a giant octopus spear.
Yeah, the octo spear charge.
And then East is its default form, where it can then flip out the pincers over its arms.
I don't like this. This is just so stupid.
I want to say the toy is good, but it is really dumb.
Just on basis of watching it in the show, it's like, first of all, no opponent is going to give you time to switch. Claw Battlezord East, West, North, no opponent is going to give you the time to have your equipment switch.
And well, not only that, but if you're in the middle of battle and you're say you're in the South mode with the two swords or swords, and then you want to switch to East, or say you want to switch back to or up to North, you got to move that Gold Ranger's got to move that dial two spaces, and it's just like, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
But there is not enough time in the day. Oh, excuse me. Not enough time in battle for this to happen.
No. The Claw Armor Megazord is formed when the Samurai Megazord and the Claw Battlezord utilize Super Samurai Combination. In order to utilize the Super Samurai Combination, one of the Rangers must be in Super Mega Mode to unite both Megazords.
Wait. Super Mega Mode?
That's what it says. I'm just reading what it says on the internet, dude.
What the hell is Super Mega Mode?
I don't know.
I know there's Super
Mode. Oh, no, Super Mega Mode. Yeah, that's...
Is that when they're in Mega Mode and then they put on the white?
Yes. Yes, that's the white dresses, yeah. Because the Claw Armor Zord kind of happened like once Super Samurai starts that second season. So, yeah, that's what happened.
Okay, that never happened in Shinkenger. They all ended up with the Super Mode at one point.
Yeah.
But, okay, the Claw Armor Megazord, I dubbed Cowboy Ha-O. Because if you go and look at my review of it, it looks like the Japanese interpretation of what a cowboy samurai would be. It really, really does if you stop and look at it for a second. And I mean the full cowboy getup, like you're at a rodeo where you've got the chaps and the giant furry pant legs and the huge hat and the big shoulder pads like you're going to ride a bull.
Yeah.
Maybe a rodeo Megazord would be a better name.
Ain't that the truth?
Because, I mean, seriously, it looks like a cowboy.
Yeah, it does. It does, I agree. Because pretty much all outside of the Gigazord, all of the other Megazord formations can get on the bull and ride it.
Mm-hmm.
Light Megazord. It obeys any command from Antonio and is skilled in hand-to-hand combat. Its weapons are Blazing Light, Mega Spin Attack, Battle Disc Attack, and Scattershot. Now, with the Light Megazord, I did like the Scattershot attack. I thought that was really cool.
Is that the one where he shoots all the discs and they're hovering around the enemy and then they converge?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that is a cool attack.
Yeah, that is a cool attack. The Samurai Light Zord. The Light Zord can combine with the Dragon, Turtle, Bear, and Ape Folding Zords to form the Samurai Light Zord. Bull Megazord. No one cares.
The which one?
Bull Megazord. The humanoid battle mode of the Bull Zord, normally controlled by Jaden in Shogun mode, has a great strength and shows off his primal power. Its weapons are shoulder blasters and revolving laser blaster. It can also wield...
So that means Jaden's full of bull. that makes so much sense.
Pretty much. Now, going down these, before we get to the last one, the penultimate Zord here, what I've noticed and what I noticed watching all the episodes in the series is that you have the regular Ranger outfits, you have the Mega Mode outfits, you have the Super Mega Mode outfit, which is essentially just one of them wearing a white dress. You have, what is it? You have the Shogun mode. So they're basically, the Shogun mode is like a Shogun warrior outfit that they can wear. Basically what it's doing is it's combining almost every aspect of the armor ups that happen from Mighty Morphin Season 1 through Season 3.
Shogun mode the, okay. The Shogun mode is the one with the giant shoulder pads.
Giant shoulder pads and giant helmet.
Okay. That's insane.
Yes. And then you have the Samurai Gigazord. Worst name ever. Gigazord is formed when the Claw Armor Megazord, the Samurai Battle Cannon, and the Bull Megazord utilize the Ultimate Samurai combination. In order to utilize this combination, one of the Rangers must be in Super Mega Mode to unite all the Zords, and is that form of a standard humanoid Megazord on a moving wheeled platform. Attacks with Samurai Strike, Tiger Drill Charge, Pincer Claws, Claw Pincer Slash, and Ultimate Samurai Slash. It can also leap into the air and somersault to deliver a final blow. When the Ranger in Super Mega Mode goes to Shogun Mode, the Samurai Gigazord attacks with the Symbol Power Mega Strike Slash Shogun Strike, combining the Symbol Power of all the Zords. That was awesome. The combination of every single Zord, that is an awesome visual in the show. That was so cool. The Zords, I don't know. For those of you who have listened to the podcast up to this point, most of you know that I fall on the side of, I like stuff like SPD, like vehicle Zords, and Scotty likes the animal Zords. And there are times, like Dino Thunder, I like the animal Zords in that, you know, obviously Mighty Morphin, I like all the animal Zords in that, but there are just some series in Power Rangers that just have the weirdest things for animal Zords.
RPM says hi.
Yeah, that was a little weird combination. Vehicle and animal. It has eyes. It's alive.
And in the Japanese version, they talk.
Yeah. All right. So this is about the point in the show where we actually would go to a clip of Spada talking about the Sentai, but he is here live. So is there anything about Shinkenger that you want to bring up that the people should know about?
I already brought up a whole lot about Shinkenger. Really not much, because quite frankly, there's not much difference between the two shows. There really isn't. There are some minor things here and there. I think the acting in Shinkenger is better.
Yeah.
But I would recommend going onto YouTube and seeing if you can find some episodes of Shinkenger just to see the Gold Ranger. Because the Gold Ranger is... he's really actually kind of funny at times, and then sometimes he's just plain annoying, but it's definitely worth a look. Just don't get too invested, because really there's not much to the plot. If you don't think there's a lot of plot in Power Rangers Samurai, there's just as little plot in Super Sentai, or I'm sorry, Samurai Sentai Shinkenger. I mean, there's really not a lot going on in either show. Oh, and the other thing is, you might want to watch it just to see the differences between the characters, or the lack of difference between the characters, I should say.
Yeah, that's true. Out of the episodes of Samurai that you watched, do you have any favorites?
The last one, because it ended. In all honesty, the last, just it was hard to watch. It was very hard to watch, because for me, Samurai is as bad as Magic Force.
Magic Force, which you talking about? Mystic Force?
Mystic Force. Okay, I can't even get the name right. It's so bad. yeah, because I really didn't like Mystic Force, and I honestly didn't really like Shinkenger either. Yeah. Unfortunately, you could kind of see the whole there's something up with the Red Ranger from the first episode, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the last episode of Samurai went just as quickly as the last episode of Shinkenger.
Yeah.
And I have to say that Samurai and Shinkenger both had probably the most anticlimactic endings ever.
I think my favorite part about the ending of the Samurai series, because I refuse to call it Samurai and Super Samurai. I refuse. It's Samurai. It's one friggin' series.
I do not blame you.
What I loved about the end, I love all the Decker stuff. I love that whole, like, I would say the last, I don't know, maybe 10 episodes. of Samurai, where they're actually telling the story of how Master Zandred's going to come back and this, that, and anything else. That's all well and good and done and fine. I really love the character of Decker. I thought that was really... It was an interesting twist instead of having, oh, you know...
Decker was...
Tommy, you are going to be my evil Green Ranger! And then turning Tommy... Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like...
Decker was a cool character. And I think
Decker was a very cool character.
I think they pulled off Decker better in Samurai than they did in Shinkenger.
Right. And then, as I said before, the best part about it was the end, because Jason Narvi reprises his role as Eugene Skulovich. Mm-hmm. You know, that was... You know, and the funny thing is, the Samurai Forever was available on DVD and streaming before the television debut. So I saw Samurai Forever a week before it aired.
Well, yeah, wasn't I the one that tweeted you that?
Somebody did.
I think that was me because I saw it on jefusion.com or one of the Super Sentai sites, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's jump over to the music and talk about the theme song. I do like, and now, is this Ron Wasserman doing this, or is this somebody else? Because it says in the credits in the show that it's somebody else that does the music. I don't know if it's, like, they got him to do the theme, and then they got somebody else to do the series. I don't know.
I think it's somebody else.
Okay, well, it has the feel of Mighty Morphin because they added back in the Go-Go Power Ranger mm-hmm. thing. I kind of like it. I think it's cool. I think the Samurai Forever thing is kind of like that whole lyric and the whole... That's lame. But I don't know. It's not the worst theme song that Power Rangers has ever had, but it's not the best. So I guess it's middle of the road for me. What about you?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. The intro isn't bad if I wasn't sitting here going, that's just kind of a remix.
Well, it is the Samurai theme is a remix of Go-Go Power Rangers, but it's a remix that, again, just like Bulk, pays homage to the nearly 20-year legacy.
I think I would have a different opinion of it if they didn't use the same exact thing for Megaforce.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, they used the same song. They just
changed the lyrics.
They just changed the voiceovers. They didn't change the lyrics. They changed the voiceovers.
No, they changed the lyrics.
Not much.
Instead of Samurai, it says Megaforce.
Go-Go Megaforce as opposed to Go-Go Samurai?
Yeah.
Well, that's not really much of a change.
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, they used the same song, but they had to change the lyrics to fit the series.
Lazy.
All right. You know, you've mentioned a little bit about the toys. Do you want to talk about those for Samurai
sure.
a bit?
Samurai was very interesting because of the, I would have to say, abysmal failure of the anniversary series. Yeah. That was a traumatic failure. But the Samurai toys were actually of pretty good quality. And I think they were actually better quality than, say, some of the other stuff Bandai had been producing, like Thundercats. The toys, unfortunately, saw a massive reduction in size for the most part, because they were all, the individual figures were reduced from a 6-inch figure down to a 4.5-inch figure. Now, I understand that's because of cost cutting and whatnot, but the figures themselves were okay. They're made for little kids. They're not made for collectors like the original Power Rangers stuff was. This stuff wouldn't last you. I mean, it's not going to hold up. It just isn't.
Yeah.
The Megazord itself was a bit of a disappointment in the fact that they took... let me start again here. The reason I say it's a little bit of a disappointment, even though I like it, it's doing that... The thing that Bandai of America has been doing lately, where anything that combines has to have a peg sticking off of it.
Oh, jeez.
As opposed to the Japanese figures, which fit together really well and have some very innovative or interesting engineering, the U.S. versions, they're just plastic pegs sticking off the sides, and they don't fold up anywhere. They're one solid molded piece of plastic into the like a leg. And also the U.S. versions of the folding Zords don't fold. So that's an issue. Unfortunately, I didn't bother to get the Claw Zord or any of the auxiliary Zords. There is a set for $120 that you can buy all of the Zords in one box. If that dropped down to like $60, I would get it. If it goes on clearance, I'll buy it. But I'm not going to buy it unless it goes on clearance, because I'm not paying that amount of money for when I pay $100 for one figure from Japan.
Yeah.
So the toys of Samurai, they're not bad.
Mm.
But they're divided up in such a way that is really kind of price gouging. So you have the Megazord, it's in a box. Then you've got the Beetle Zord that comes with the Green Ranger. Then you've got the Fish Zord that comes with the Blue Ranger. Then you've got a Tiger Zord that comes with the Red Ranger. But those Jeez. Rangers aren't poseable. They're kind of like, I think they're in a static pose.
Wow.
So you've got those. So you've got that. And you've got, of course, a bunch of other different toys and whatnot. But I'm not going to get into that because that would get a little bit too crazy.
Now, and plus, let's face it, Bandai, not the best toy company in the world.
Bandai of America, no. Probably my favorite figures from the toy line are the Mega Ranger figures. They were the first figures that were released. There were six figures in the line: red, blue, green, pink, yellow, and then a Moogie or Mooger or
yeah.
And those figures were pretty cool. They were fairly poseable. They came with good weapons, and they were nice. I liked them. Some of the other individual figures were okay, but I wouldn't say run out and get them. And then there was that Rita Repulsa figure, which was, oh my God, she has no face. Now, I do need to make a correction. I did find I did find pictures of the individual Zords that came with figures, and the figures are poseable.
Okay.
So I was wrong with that. I think the toy line as a whole wasn't bad. My favorite, by no means. But it wasn't bad. I mean, I think the figures could be a little bigger, and I think the weapons that they came with could have used paint. But other than that, I think this line was solid. Yeah. My biggest complaint, though, all of the plastic on these figures feel a little cheap.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, well, that's just something Bandai of America has been doing in these past few years. I don't know why, but all of their toys, whatever toy line it is, all of their figures feel cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, you know. At least they didn't decide to do the problem of, hey, we can't decide what size to make these. 6-inch, 8-inch, 7-inch, 9-inch. Anyway, all right. Well, bad Thundercats joke there. So we're going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some other podcast ads and other stuff, and we'll come back to final thoughts and close the show. We'll be back after this.
Kid? Yes. Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on Geekcast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Get...
Yes, Michael.
Just keep driving.
Hey guys, Dirt here. You know, every week a bunch of stuff happens in the toy industry. Some of it's really exciting. Some of it's a lot of fun and very interesting. Some of it's downright pathetic. But if you want to know what's going on in the toy world, then make sure you check out the News Desk every Saturday morning at thatnewtoysmell.com, part of the Pop Culture Network, where we're going to take a look at that wonderful world of toys, sometimes from a slightly skewed perspective. The News Desk, thatnewtoysmell.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
So we are back, and before we give our final thoughts, Chaotix chimes in once again. Samurai so far is decent. The acting is weak in the first half of the season, and I would have preferred it to branch out a bit from the Sentai, though Clash of the Red Ranger certainly did. The second half is said to be so well. So we'll see. I like it well enough. The team up was pretty awesome, and it was great to see that Saban cared enough to respect RPM's story and characters, even though they didn't produce it. To put it simply, Samurai slash Super Samurai is lazy. With such an interesting theme that Saban could have easily done so much with to craft a season that would go down as one of the greatest, it's just a disappointment to find that all they did was take the Sentai scripts, plots, characters, copy them wholesale, retool bits of the story, insert some PR terms, and add scenes with bulk. It is awkwardly acted, especially Kevin and G, just yikes, and the characters feel so distant from the rest of the world. The villains are complete jokes, and the editing is horribly random. And the bulk and spike scenes add nothing most of the time. However, with that said, there are occasional bright spots. The HD visuals, production values, and music were top-notch. The Mega Mode, Super Mega Mode, and Shogun Mode suits all looked awesome, even though they were pretty pointless. I quite enjoyed Antonio's character, and the team-up special with Scott from RPM brought back fond memories of much better season as a whole, though Samurai is easily one of the absolute worst seasons. A bad showing is Saban's first season since Time Force. Here's hoping that Megaforce can rise above it and give us an anniversary to remember. Yeah, I would have to say that Samurai, I would much rather watch Turbo over Samurai any day of the week at this point.
I think I might know why Samurai was so
bad.
Lazy.
Okay.
There were 6 different directors, and there were 16 different writers, according to IMDb.
Jesus Christ.
So, if you've got 6 different directors, that would explain why some episodes are better than others, and some... And the actors have so much trouble with nailing down a character.
Yeah.
And it also doesn't help that these people were working for almost nothing.
Yeah. Like I said before, my 2 favorite Rangers out of the series are Mike and Emily. I like them the best.
I like Mike. Emily is okay. I can deal with her. She's fine.
Yeah.
The others,
rest of them just
they're not that. They did not choose good actors.
No, not at all. All right. You want to pimp out your other stuff that you do on the internet?
Sure. You guys can find me at a variety of places. You can talk to me over on Twitter at twitter.com/BaltMatrix. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/BaltMatrixReviews, all one word. And then you can find all of my reviews, all of my Power Rangers, Super Sentai, Kamen Rider, Transformers, GoBots, Gundams, and every other robot you can think of at youtube.com/BaltMatrix. I'm pretty much easy to find. So go ahead and check out my reviews. I have reviewed both the Samurai Ha-O range figure, and I have also reviewed the Power Rangers Samurai Zord figure. So it would be a good idea for you guys to check those reviews out. Go to my channel and look under the playlists under Super Sentai Power Rangers. They should show up there.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for joining us here on From the Command Center. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the network websites geekcastradio.com and popculturenetwork.com. Join the forums over at Pop Culture Network as well. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. Mine is TFG1Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio and at PopCultureNet. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. You can also search out PopCultureNetwork.com over there for them. You can find PCN on YouTube, youtube.com/PopCultureNetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name, 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of From the Command Center and wish you'll join us next time when we will be counting down our favorite top 20 Power Rangers seasons. For now, I am TFG1Mike with
Spade of the Ball Matrix.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Wow! Those Samurai Power Rangers really saved us.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe everything's back to normal.
Well, we had quite a time, didn't we, Spike?
I'll never forget training to be a samurai with you. I just can't believe it's over already, Sensei Bulk.
Uncle Bulk. You know, it seems just like yesterday I was standing here waiting for you to get off that bus, and now your dad's coming to take you back home.
I'm gonna miss you, Uncle Bulk.
Me too, Spikey. Me too.
Oh, nice. Son! Dad!
Skull! You.
You look great! Well, Meyer!
Old man! You look... You haven't changed a bit.
Neither have you, Skullovich.
Son!
Hey, thanks for taking care of Spike, Bulky.
Mm-hmm.
You'll come visit, right? I'd love to catch up.
I would love to.
Great!
I hate to say it, but it's time to go.
You go!
Bye, Uncle Bulk!
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
What are you still doing listening to this podcast? Oh, yeah, that's right. Megaforce has finally premiered. I thought it was okay. I don't know if I'll continue watching it week to week, but...
Meh.
It was okay.
I say meh. It wasn't bad. There are obvious homages to the original MMPR, but the acting was terrible. I am going to buy that girl a milkshake.
Yeah.
It's like...
So far, the best part about Megaforce is the girls. That's real. Like, some of the guys just can't act at all.
Pink is my favorite color. It's like, oh.
I'm not sure if I really care for the giant Tiki as the mentor.
Oh, you mean Freaky Tiki?
Yeah. I get that they're obviously Ghost Side Grade is part of the Ghost Sager or whatever else or whatever, wherever the hell the Sentai comes from.
It comes from hell.
Yeah. It reminds me of just a cheap imitation Zordon head.
Yeah, it's pretty much just a cheap imitation Zordon head with flashing lights behind it.
Yeah. What I'm interested to see with Megaforce, if that quote-unquote dream battle will ever really happen in the series.
Which dream battle?
The one that the dude keeps having of all the past Rangers.
Oh, that, believe it or not, that was never in Ghost Sager. That dream battle was from the very first episode of Gokaiger.
Right.
So,
but they're eventually going to take Gokaiger as season one and Gokaiger is going to be season two,
that's
right?
That's the rumor. That is the current rumor.
So, I don't know. I think if they... Obviously, you know, we can't speak to what Saban would pay actors or whatever else, but if they really... If the people in charge at Saban really want to pay, you know, homage and really celebrate the 20th anniversary of their franchise, they would go to great lengths to procure as many past Rangers as they can, even if it's just in one battle scene, like everybody comes back just for one scene in one episode. You know what I mean?
Oh, you would think, man, that would be a lot. Well, they can't because a couple Trini's dead.
Well, that's why I said every possible past Ranger. Possible. Well, that's why I said.
I'm sure Jason David Frank would come by. Who's the guy who played Adam?
Johnny Young Bosch.
Johnny Young Bosch would come. I doubt.
Steve Cardenas.
I'm sorry?
Maybe. Steve Cardenas, Rocky.
Yeah, I bet he would come. I'm sure some would come, but I doubt. I would very much be surprised if anyone besides Jason David Frank came from the original cast.
Well, I don't know. I think Amy Jo might. Like, if you were going to do like a, hey, here's what happened after the fact. And you know what I mean? It's like somehow, if they did some sort of reunion film, even if it was like a special outside of Megaforce, where, hey, it's 20 years later and Tommy and I are married. You know, there's some storyline somehow that ties the old characters together with the new ones. Just something that pays homage to the fact that it's a 20-year-long history. You know what I mean? Just something. Give us something. And that's,
well,
and like I said,
the other,
even if it's a one-off.
The other problem they run into is they are using, I don't know if you noticed, but in that dream sequence, they're using suits from, and Rangers from well before Mighty Morphin.
Oh, so they're using Sentai stuff.
They're,
too.
All of those suits are from Sentai. And you've got to remember that Chew Ranger, which was made into Super Sentai, or MMPR, was like the 23rd Super Sentai series.
Oh, Jesus.
So I don't know. We'll see. I mean,
we'll see.
It's just going to take
either way. I'm interested. I'll probably watch. You know,
I'm more interested in seeing how they're going to do the Hyper Gose Great figure, considering the U.S. isn't going to get Detas, which is a talking arcade machine. I'm really curious on how they're going to handle that. I really hope it's not that Wally iPad Kinect ripoff thing. I mean, seriously, all they did was take Wally, replace his tread with wheels, remove his hands, put two iPads on his back, and put a Kinect for a head.
Oh, you're talking about the robot
Tensor or something like
Tensu or Tensai or it's a poor excuse for an Alpha 7.
Tensei or something like
that? Yeah, something like that. It's a poor excuse because the whole point of Megaforce, at least to me, is Freaky Tiki is the Zordon type of character. The little robot is
alpha.
It's supposed to be an alpha like, but it's like, why not just get an Alpha 8 or an Alpha 9 or hell, like they did in Forever Red, revive Alpha 5.
Or, I mean, at least update him some way.
Yeah.
And give him, make him not annoying.
Yeah.
And make him not CG.
Yes.
Yeah. Tenso. I always thought, I thought they said Tenzin. But it's Tenso.
I don't know what they said.
And I honestly, I was looking at this thing, I was thinking, how is this thing useful? What is it?
So there you go, folks. Megaforce thoughts from Spada and myself. And yeah, that'll be that.
Let the power protect you.